When Dayton Moore says, we really like this kid coming out of the draft, you can actually take it for a 100% belief, right? As the Royals reacquire Mike Montgomery.
Well, and he was a Royals draft pick back in 2008.
So there
he
was
a Dayton Moore draft pick back then.
Coming out of the in the draft.
Was he like a first round pick or a sandwich round pick,
yeah.
A compensatory round pick? So he, for all intents and purposes, a first round
draft
pick.
Wait, there's a round where they pick sandwiches?
Yes, there is. If you were drafting sandwiches, what would be the number one selection for sandwiches? It doesn't have to be a place in town, but like what meat, you know, like that
whole
thing.
I feel like a turkey club's definitely got to be up
turkey
there.
Turkey club is in the top five, I would imagine.
The grilled cheese feels like a lottery pick as well.
I'm out of the grilled cheese business, as you guys know. The only problem with the turkey club is that random extra piece of meat, like the Big Mac slides in that third bun. Like with the turkey club, you slide in that extra piece of
usually like
bread.
Roast beef or something?
No, the extra piece,
the extra
of, bread.
Piece of bread.
Yeah, why do I need that bread in there? Why not just stack that sandwich on two slices of bread, cut out the middleman,
because
and let's go to
so
war?
Because there's so many other veggies and whatnot, they slide around. You need the bread
to get... The bread kind of binds
it. It gives some traction
to it. Gives
it
a little bit of binding,
yeah.
I got you. You know, you throw in some breadcrumbs
and
things like that to bind things
Your
together.
Mother was right.
They're screwing
yes,
you.
Yeah. They're just throwing that extra piece of bread in there just to...
I think it's
cheaper.
For stability,
cheaper.
For structural
no,
integrity
cheaper.
They need the bread.
I can see where you're coming from, Ryan, but Josh, you know how I was raised.
Yeah.
You've been there.
It's cheaper.
PB&J, definitely a lottery pick as well.
Oh, PB&J is a lottery
pick,
man.
And possibly the BLT to round out the top five.
I think the
I think the
BLT is on that list, too. You know what I've been enjoying lately?
Ooh, and the French dip.
You like, but you got to have the au jus, and that's hard to take
Still
with you.
Still a sandwich, Bob.
Still hard to take with you, but I understand you can give that if you're sitting
they
down.
They need more ways to give you a portable au jus.
They really do. Like, you know what they could do? And this is going to come from left field. They should bottle au jus in a spray bottle like they do with butter. You know, like the parquet and
so
all that kind of spray butter.
French dip with you in the car, and
right?
Spray au jus,
spray au jus on it, and then you—I mean, think of how versatile spray au jus would be.
I mean, if my
for
wife
many things, right?
Used it for perfume, I'd love it.
You'd
actually.
Love it. You'd like.
What is
you'd,
that beef?
You'd kiss the nape of her neck. Finally, ooh, is
delicious.
That au jus on you?
She's licking the hell out of it.
Ooh, au jus. Yeah, so if you're I think the turkey sandwich is the number one overall selection, right? Does anybody disagree? But what I've been saying, I've liked the ham sandwich lately. I think the ham sandwich has been a nice find. Ham is underrated.
Ham is a nice find.
Yeah, my wife doesn't like ham. It's underrated. I think
discovered ham.
Yeah, I think ham is a nice sandwich. So if you're drafting sandwiches, what is the number one selection? 69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line today. I think the turkey sandwich is the slam dunk number one.
What a weird route we just
did. I know, really.
So the,
sandwich pick. Reuben is a great.
Oh, the Reuben
great
is a
choice,
but it's not a drivable sandwich again, you know?
Not if they make it right.
I don't need that.
No, what?
Not if they make
no,
it right.
No, if they make it right,
it's
you're spilling
gigantic
all over
and it's
running
yeah.
down the arm,
yeah,
and it's a mess.
Too big to drive with.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we weren't ranking drivable sandwiches, though. We were just ranking sandwiches, I think.
Yeah, we were. I don't know why
drivable.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, I'm just thinking about we eat in the car.
Most of our
right?
meals in the car, so
right.
yeah, that's
yeah,
fine.
Like
I get
everybody's
it.
Eating in the car these days, and so I was just thinking like a drive. But really, no sandwich is a real drivable sandwich if you really think about it, because if you have a condiment on the sandwich and you bite into it, sometimes the mustard could squirt out,
lettuce
land on
all
your
shirt,
shirt. Lettuce
yeah.
all over
yeah.
the place, you got mayo on the windshield. Yeah. It's a mess.
Yes, it is a mess.
816, coming out the gate talking about bull crap. Way to go.
Sandwich pick, 36th overall in the 2008 draft, was one Mike Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
We heard about him for several years, right?
He was going to be part of the next,
he was
right?
part of the wave, Lamb, Montgomery, and there was a third one, wasn't there?
There was. It was Mike Montgomery, John Lamb, and
Cody Reed.
Kyle Snyder
no.
was
Cody
he on
Reed
that
was,
list.
Was
neither
part
one
of that?
Of them.
No.
No.
Who
neither
the
one
hell
of
was it? Was maybe Duffy was part of that deal.
No, could I was be. Thinking there's another one that didn't really pan out. But then Montgomery sent in 2012 to Tampa. That was part of the deal that brought James Shields and Wade Davis to Kansas City.
Elliot Johnson trade.
And Montgomery played Tampa, Seattle, the Cubs, was part of the World Series team with the Cubs, and has been pitching out of the bullpen. But Megan, another opportunity to try to start, right?
Well, he's going
to
start on Friday for the Royals.
Why
that's
not?
For sure, right?
They
Why
need,
not?
They got a spot. They got a spot. Go ahead and audition any and all for any and all roles, and they could always slide him back to the bullpen if he's not adequate in that role. But he's going to start initially at least here, and You give up Martin Maldonado, a guy yesterday that I said, hey, nice catcher and all. Those are the types of parts you need to just start dealing for whatever. They got back a 23-year-old utility guy for Homer Bailey, right? Get a guy they're going to plug into their rotation and is going to have a role either way at the big league level.
Right.
For a catcher who's is playing every day for you now, but is not your long-term catcher. You're just you were just getting him for a year at most to buy time for the return of Salvador Perez.
Well, and so. that's what it was. Like you know, Maldonado would not even be on this team if Salvi didn't go down with an injury during spring training. We wouldn't even have seen Maldonado in the lineup. And so what we did was go out and get a catcher because of an injury, and you turned the injury to Salvador Perez into about as positive a spin as you possibly could. Maldonado was a nice guy to have here for half a season, filled the void for you, but also then if Salvador Perez doesn't go down, you don't have Maldonado and you don't have the ability to spin him off to go out and get Mike Montgomery, who's not going to, you know, move mountains or anything like that, but the Royals still have him, you know, under contract for the next 2 years after this. And so you're getting a guy back in return for a rent-a-catcher that still has two more years of club control on top of him and is not really that expensive and can be a versatile guy. I mean, he's a dude that's wanted to get back in the starting rotation, and the Royals have a spot in their starting rotation that is available right now because of the trade to Homer Bailey. So you have the ability now to stretch Mike Montgomery out and for the rest of the season, see what you have with him and potentially go into spring training with him as one of your starters, because as good as some of these kids look down in the minor leagues, Josh, you're still going to need guys to kind of, you know, bide you time at the big league level until these guys from the minor leagues are ready to come up and be productive starters at the major league level. So that Mike Montgomery fits a nice role for the Kansas City Royals right now, and he fits a nice role for the immediate future for the Kansas City Royals as being part of a guy who can fill a spot in the rotation while we're waiting for the Singers, the Kowars, and you know, some of the other guys to come up now from the minor leagues, and maybe now Jonathan Bolin, who threw a no-hitter last night for the Royals at Wilmington. So we'll get into him in a little bit. But what we saw is a trade that I think worked out very well for the Royals, and over the last 48 hours, I think they did a nice job of bettering their organization. They traded two guys on expiring deals and got an athlete and one of the fastest guys in the minor leagues back, and got potentially a starting pitcher for the next 2 years back for a guy that they had no choice to sign because Salvador Perez was injured. So when you look at what the Royals have done from, you know, Sunday afternoon when they traded Homer Bailey to where we are today, waking up on a Tuesday with Maldonado being traded, I think overall as an organization, I think they bettered themselves as an overall organization because they got rid of two expiring contracts and got guys back that are under club control and that you can see making this organization better. Maybe doesn't turn them into a World Series champion or anything like that, but I think the organization overall got better over these last 2 days with these two trades.
And I'm not even asking them to. You know, at this point, it's like, just get rid of stuff you don't need.
Yeah, sure.
This is just, and if you acquire stuff that you can use, great and fine. And I think they have.
Yeah, so. I think they have too. And the thing about acquiring athletes, we talked about it yesterday. This is the MO right now for the Royals. This is how they're reshaping the game like they did with the bullpen, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. They're doing it now by going out and getting athletes. I mean, you look around a high school baseball field. Just put yourself back in high school, guys, and remember, who was the best athlete on your baseball team? It was the kid that played shortstop, right? That was the best athlete. He was also the quarterback of your football team and probably was the point guard on the basketball team. Those guys are the best athletes. And so when you look around at what the Royals are doing, they're going out and acquiring the best athletes.
I'm going to get Mahomes.
That's exactly right. Because the best athletes, well, the best athletes have the best ability to switch positions and do different things because they're gifted. I mean, they just have that ability that most of us don't. So if you can go out and find the best athletes and say, hey, you're really good, you can hit, let's figure out a spot for you in the lineup, and you make your ball club better and stronger that way.
So Montgomery will start on Friday, the spot vacated by Homer Bailey in the rotation. There were, I don't know, probably some people hoping a little bit that they'd try the opener thing.
Yeah.
Because
maybe Montgomery could be that. And Montgomery
could be that in a sense. But they've been doing that a little bit at the minor leagues, at AAA. And I think people were kind of curious. I know I was a little bit. Like if Friday's used as an opener type thing, that'd be cool. But I think that it'll be Mike Montgomery go pitch as long as you can. And then
two innings.
Jorge Lopez come in and do the Jorge Lopez thing where he does two innings or whatever. So it may be a little bit of a work in progress. But if Montgomery wants to start, which Dayton Moore says he has, that he wanted to find a place, wasn't his choice, obviously, but he wanted to find a place where he'd be given the opportunity to try to start, Seems like a good fit.
Well, and I think also, too, Josh, I mean, you know, what are the expectations now for Mike Montgomery? I think if you can get three innings out of him on Friday, you know, that's probably good because we live in a world in baseball where, God forbid, you know, you strain yourself doing anything, right? I mean, he hasn't pitched three innings since, you know, 14 or whatever it's been. There's no way we can possibly roll him out there for any more than three innings, right? So I think you're looking at three, potentially four innings out of Mike Montgomery on Friday. But this is more of a long-term deal, and it also opens the door for Valoria to come up from the minor leagues and now get a look-see at the big league level to see what you have in him for the last 68 or so games that the Royals have on the schedule this year. And I think that's a big bonus as well. Maldonado was never going to be part of the future. He was never going to be a guy that you were going to build around. He's an older catcher right now, and he's a guy that's been kind of sent on his way. Maybe you bring him back if you need a backup, you know, in a year or two or something like that behind Salvi. But you have Valoria now. You get an opportunity to see, you know, what he can do and if he can be part of the future. Because eventually, even if Salvi's healthy, he's going to get old and he's not going to be able to catch forever. So now you get an opportunity to see one of your younger kids down in the minor leagues to see if he can potentially be part of something, much like you're doing with Bubba Starling now at the big league level.
Dayton Moore on reacquiring Mike Montgomery.
He clearly wants to start. We have an opportunity to start, as you guys know, with the trade that we made for Homer Bailey. And, you know, Monty's kind of been used in a very versatile role over there. He started, he's pitched in the middle, he's pitched situational, and it's just a good opportunity to get him back and you know, put him in the rotation and potentially 2 years of control for us. And so the money pretty much is a swap. So that's not, it's just a good baseball deal.
There you go. Another good baseball deal by Dayton Moore.
Sure.
Pitched 3 1/3 his last outing against the Cubs, then a bunch of like shorter ones, and then they had a 5-inning start back on May the 9th. So they will need to stretch him out a little bit to get back into the starting mode, but he's going to get an opportunity here in the second half.
And he's also part of a trivia question. Who was on the mound when the Cubs won their first world championship in 105 years?
Monty,
yep. Got the final out for the Chicago Cubs against the Indians in the 2016 World Series.
So 2 days, two trades. We'll see what's next on tap for the Royals.
Hopefully Peralta's next. Well, you got Peralta, you got Diekman, and you've got
Peralta
Duda.
Have a bunch of years and stuff?
I'm
move.
Sure.
Something like that.
But, no, he's on expiring contract.
Is he?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, then I'd be all for it. I know you'd be all for it. Are you not impressed? We'll discuss next.
And gone, Maldonado.
Fesco in the morning.
We need to get the football. We need to get the football.
We can say that just about any day of the year, Josh.
Well, it's starting to get that way, though, because it's
why?
Because it just gets like ridiculous each and every day. Like, hey, what do you think? You know, it's like everybody's running out of stuff to talk about on the talking about like the national like football shows and stuff, because the comparisons, it's not quite Rushmorean, but it's comparison time.
Sure.
And I just feel like the with each passing day, it's like, okay, we need actual on-field stuff to like direct the flashlight to, so we can not be distracted by
it. Do you think football will ever get here?
Yes, it will. It will get here. I think there's a truck packing up tomorrow, I believe.
Oh, is there a truck packing tomorrow?
I believe so.
I'm going to just...
Is that something that interests you, by the way?
Not really. What interests me, though, is... You know, training camps have gotten smaller and smaller over the years. Like, the time spent at training camp, you know, has gotten smaller. When we were kids, like, they used to go for 6 weeks at a time. And even when Dick Vermeil was still here, I remember River Falls at least being at least a good solid 4 weeks, maybe even spilling over into that fifth week up at River Falls. And we used to break it up, and everybody would take a week or something and go up there and cover training camp and whatnot. And it's seemingly gotten smaller and smaller and smaller. You don't do two-a-days anymore and whatnot. I just don't understand why the Chiefs continue to waste time going to St. Joe for training camp when the majority of teams now in the NFL just do it at their own facility. It just seems to me... It just seems to me like a lot of work, you know, for guys who got to load up a truck with sleds to go up to St. Joe for like 12 practices. I mean, it just, to me, it seems like a lot of work when you've got the best of everything, you know, right here in Kansas City. And the Chiefs are now in the minority when it comes to traveling for training camp. There's more teams that actually stay home at their facilities because they're building these, you know, $100 million facilities on their practice sites. And they're saying, well, why are we going to go to a university and do all of this kind of stuff when we could just train here? And I know Andy Reid is old school and he likes to get away and the dorm life and the bonding and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm not going to question.
It can have some benefits.
It definitely can. I'm not going to question what Andy does. He knows how to win in the NFL. But you have to wonder, you know, it's been almost now 10 years. I think this is the 10th season now. They're up there at Missouri Western State University. Like, how much longer are we going to waste time loading a semi with all of this equipment to go up there for like 12 practices? And,
well, no knocking Andy. He doesn't do any of that.
No, he doesn't. But, I mean, poor Alan Wright, the equipment guy, is like, the logistics, he's got his intern. And they're doing all this. It makes no sense.
Of taking everything away. I mean,
if it weren't for this, though, you wouldn't know Alan Wright's name.
No, I would. I mean, I know Alan's been there forever, man. He was there back in Joe Montana days. Like he still talks to Joe Montana. Like, that's how long Alan Wright's been in. Like, when you say who's been around the organization the longest, I would imagine Alan Wright, next to the Hunt family, is like the longest tenured dude inside the Royals or inside the Chiefs operation. I mean, he's the equipment guy. He knows everything, you know, about the organization. And I just, like, I'm looking at this guy loading up a truck with sled. It's not like light equipment, like a bag of baseballs and a few bats and you're sending them to surprise for 8 weeks. You're loading up like a lot of heavy equipment to go up to St. Joe and to make this thing a training camp when you could just say, we got it right here, man. There's nothing wrong with practicing right here. Just go to the weight room. I mean, you're loading up weights. I mean, it's a whole process to move, right?
You know, we're working too.
It's much different than River Falls was because Missouri Western's nice.
Well, River Falls was nice. The town of River Falls, Wisconsin, is nicer than St. Joe.
I'm talking about the equipment.
Oh, and the facility up there.
They got
great.
A lot of stuff better than the Chiefs.
Sure, they do.
At least
do.
It was.
It was, yeah.
When they first built it, I mean, the indoor practice facility is nicer than the Chiefs one.
No, it's bigger. Yeah, it absolutely
is
nicer.
It's better. Yes. The weight room is fantastic. Yep. I mean, they don't.
But the Chiefs built all that up there for them.
Right, absolutely. I mean, that was the reason why it's, like, super nice.
Yeah, the Chiefs built a better facility away from their facility than what they have at their facility.
So that's what I'm saying. I mean, there's a part of it that's like, okay, we have to take a lot of maybe extra stuff up there, but there's pretty nice stuff there when we get there.
But at least when you were going to River Falls, you were legit going away. You know, like, this isn't necessarily going away. It's you know, it's making your commute to work a little bit longer in the morning for some people. That's all it really is. Like, if you were going to go away back in the old days where everybody went up and you had that cheese league in Wisconsin and teams would play each other and then get into fist fights and Gunther would be screaming on the field. Like, that was training camp. This is like, yeah, we're going away for a couple of weeks just to get away from the wives.
This is just a practice away from here.
Yeah, that's all it is. But it's great for the fans.
I think
you know?
The captive audience portion of it for Andy, though, can be beneficial.
Could be. I mean, could be. But
if you're far enough away where you got him for a little while.
For a little bit. Yeah. But you're also close enough where if something happens, you can run home. And it really is like this location of training camp has always been really good, you know, for the fans. And I think the Chiefs do a marvelous job of letting their guys autograph things and sign things for the fans and have the interaction with the fans. I think fans truly love being able to get up there. And that's the big drawback. If you had it here in Kansas City, how would you do it to have that fan access that you get up in St.
Well,
Joe?
You're not going to.
And you're not going to. There's just no possible
get,
way
like, a day.
To do it.
For the fans' perspective, this is the way you want it because you're going to get multiple days to be able to go.
Right.
Or weeks or whatever to be able to go and watch. If they did it at home, you might get one. You might get none.
You may get none. And I saw a story a couple of weeks ago where, like, the Browns sold out of their training camp tickets, and somebody commented to me, I haven't seen the Chiefs sell out yet. I'm like, yeah, because the Chiefs don't charge for training camp. It's free. I mean, you get to go. And the person was like, really? They don't charge for that? I'm like, no, it's free. It's open to the public. Maybe the university dings you for $5 to park your rig or something like that. But you're not going to be charged money and have to buy a ticket to get into training camp. If you wake up on a Tuesday morning and they're practicing, and you go, what the hell? Let's run up there. You can run up the training camp and see practice.
So one of the reasons we need football, ESPN, NFL Live discussing what was more impressive, Bob? 23-year-old Patrick Mahomes or 41-year-old Tom Brady?
Well,
Damian Woody and Mike Tannenbaum discuss.
I think what Patrick Mahomes is doing at age 23, I mean, remember the type of system he came from at Texas Tech, which is like the air raid system. Then he comes in and he sits behind Alex Smith, gets a little taste of that, and then in his first real complete season, turns out to be the NFL MVP. I mean, that is a huge jump for a guy who doesn't have that many games under his belt as a quarterback. And so moving forward, you wonder, well, what is the next step for Patrick Mahomes after being the NFL MVP last year?
Yeah, for me, it'd be Tom Brady, you know, being in the AFC East, as long as I have between the Jets and the Dolphins. Every year we're like, wow, this is going to be it for Tom. Like, he's getting older. This got to be the year. This has to be the year. And it's remarkable. He's gotten better. You know, he's so smart. He knows where he's going with the ball often before the ball's ever snapped. So it's hard to get to him because he gets rid of it so quickly. It's really remarkable that he's actually gotten better in the back half of his career from the first half. And unfortunately, I've admired it, you know, to my detriment, but he really deserves a lot of credit.
Yeah, the reason my tandem mom's at ESPN.
Yeah, because of Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
Why are you here? Well, Tom Brady, you know, chased me out of two teams in the division. But I think it's really cool to hear Tannenbaum talk like we do, you know, like talk like a fan, like this is going to be it. This has got to be the year. There's no way this guy can continue to go. Like, everybody thinks that about Tom Brady. It's cool to hear another executive think about, like, they sit around in meetings and go, this has got to be the year, right? Like, he's got to go. He's costing all of us jobs. There's nothing we can do. How many head coaches have the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Bills gone through since Tom Brady has been the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots? I would venture to say it's probably pushing 20 if you start to add them all up, of how many coaches that combined those organizations have gone through since Tom Brady has been the quarterback with the New England Patriots, and he continues to cost people jobs. And, you know, I think it really is a good argument, because you can make the case, man, 23 years old, Patrick Mahomes, pretty damn impressive what he did. Nobody's ever done at his age what he was able to accomplish. And then you turn around and you go, yeah, but that dude's 41, and he continues to get better and continues to win Super Bowls. Like, and I'll give the nod right now to Tom Brady because he's got the rings. If Patrick Mahomes would have won a ring last year and would have won the championship, I would give the nod to Patrick Mahomes. But right now, it is hard to say anybody is better at what that position entails than Tom Brady. Until somebody can go out there and do what Tom Brady is doing for as long as Tom Brady has done it, it's going to be hard to knock Tom Brady off the list of GOATs. And we may never see somebody as great as Tom Brady as long as we're on Earth. It may come by the time we're dead.
69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. We will shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. And your piece of history is becoming available, but at a price. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Six 9 3 0 6 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. We'll shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. Anything you'd like to riff on? Jackson County's moving forward in its plan to sell seats, the old seats from Arrowhead Stadium.
What?
Not,
was this in the news?
Not the like current seats.
I mean,
but the,
only
the ones
in Kansas
that are
City would there be a fight over
in
this,
a,
right?
In a scrap heap in the backyard at Arrowhead.
Right. You think they'll have the new seats in by the time the season starts? They are moving slow with that process.
Yeah, well, there'll be a deadline. It'll be fine.
Okay. They'll start hiring, like, dudes to go and screw in seats.
Not saying there won't be, yeah.
They may not all be secure.
As they're going through security, you're hearing,
yeah, right.
And they're putting screws in concrete, but, you know.
They'll just hand you a package of screws as you walk in there.
Screw in your own seat.
And if they got folding chairs, we got an issue, but I'm thinking they'll probably get it done.
My mother would say they're screwing you.
They're not screwing.
The Jackson County Legislature approving a contract with a St. Louis-based Schneider Industries to sell the old Arrowhead Stadium seats.
Oh, Schneider's good.
Schneider is good. He used to repair a lot of stuff. He used to do it one day at a time, though. It didn't take him, you know, more than one day.
Prices will range from $199 for a single seat to $399 for a double seat.
So there's no deal if you buy two?
No.
No, none.
They said final prices haven't been determined, so they're floating out the.
So it's one for $200, or you could get the deal of two for $400.
That's exactly right. Yes,
that's a good deal.
That's a hell of a deal right there.
You don't pass up on things like
that. You really don't. Yeah, $200 for a seat seems awfully expensive to me. Right? Don't you guys think? Like, I thought they'd be on sale for like $99 or something, and then you could get two for.
I mean, it's a piece of history.
Really?
I wouldn't spend $200 on that piece of history. But.
Right.
I'm not doing this because I know exactly what would happen. I'd buy a couple of these and go, this will be really cool. Put them in the downstairs, and I'll move them like three times in my lifetime. And I'll go, why the hell did I buy these stupid things?
Right.
They're just taking up space. Nobody sits in them anyway.
That's exactly right.
So, yeah, I'm not doing it. But I can see if you wanted to buy one or two and put it in your basement or whatever and build a frame for it to hold it and sit. All that work, I'm like, yeah, I'd just be moving them around to be dumb.
It wouldn't be a good purchase for me either. I'd be the same way as you. It sounds good right now. Excuse me.
And I don't do anything with it.
I
either don't finish it or Or you're spending more time moving the thing.
Right. No, that's exactly
it's like the,
it.
Like the treadmill,
right.
For instance.
Right.
That you spend more time moving the treadmill than you do using
then
the
you
treadmill.
Actually do use it. Yeah,
this would be the same type of thing. I'm not doing.
And you're looking at this and going, why did I purchase this?
Because I think it's cool. On the surface, I think it's cool.
Right, sure it is.
A couple seats from Arrowhead would be pretty cool. A nice little talking point. You're never going to use them.
But you're never going to use them. And not for that price either. I think, you know, in a couple of weeks when nobody's buying them, they'll probably drop the price on these and they'll end up going for, you know, $100 or something like that, or maybe even cheaper. I remember when the Kemper Arena seats went on sale, I thought, wow, I'm going to have some of these. And nobody bought any of those Kemper Arena seats either. So, I mean, like, people think they
want to
buy these.
Yeah, when
they
first came out, they're like, oh, row of Kemper seats. That's really cool.
That would be cool to have. No, really?
No, what are you going to do with them?
What am I going to ultimately do with those seats, right? So, unless, you know, if you had the wherewithal to do like a basement where you could have seats from Kemper and seats from Arrowhead and seats from like Allen Fieldhouse and seats from, you know, Kauffman Stadium and places like that and have different sections. That would be kind of cool. But I mean, I don't know that anybody has that I know that has the wherewithal to do something like that. That has like stair step stadium seating or something like that, you know, downstairs. I think that would be kind of fun to have like that. But I just think ultimately the price point's a little
too
high for
me. Throw them out the back patio or something.
Yeah, right. And then they get weathered. But
well, they're already weathered.
I know that is true.
They should be good with that.
That is true.
I'd have to put it like a cup holder on it though too, because these won't have
cup
holders.
These do not have the cup
holders.
Which would be
a detriment.
Very bad deal. But I think the price point's too high on this. I just think $199 is a lot of money. You know, for these seats and $400 for two. I think right now the price point is too high, and maybe if they come down, it's something to think about. But right now, not at $200 a piece, they can keep the seats. But again, like all things in Kansas City, we're trying to sell these seats, and there was a fight over how they were going to sell these seats. Like, we just can't do anything in this town without having something come to a fight and an argument and a disagreement. And the Chiefs were trying to sell the seats, and Jackson County's like, we paid for those seats. They're our seats. The flip side is the Chiefs are paying for $11.5 million of renovations to the stadium that Jackson County owns. And Jackson County doesn't seem to be upset that the Chiefs are footing the bill for the $11.5 million renovation right now that's going on at Arrowhead Stadium. So I thought the Chiefs should have been able to sell those seats. Even though Jackson County originally purchased those seats, the Kansas City Chiefs are spending $11.5 million renovating something that they rent from the county. They should be able to sell the seats and make the money back to kind of put into their coffers a little bit to say, hey, you know what? You are spending a lot of money. It would be like if you're renting an apartment and all of a sudden you redo the kitchen. Well, you spent that money to redo something that's not yours. You should be able to take that money off your rent. And I thought that's kind of what the Kansas City Chiefs should have been able to do with the $11.5 million they're spending to renovate, sell the seats and keep the money for themselves to kind of, you know, lessen the blow a little bit.
Should have let Judge Judy sort the whole thing out.
I agree. Would have been good. Would have been real good to have her or Wapner doing it, you know.
Wapner's no longer with us.
Oh, he's not? Yeah, well, you never know. Let's shout it out. 69306.
You do know. Actually,
Protein House Eat with a Purpose text. I had no idea that Wapner was dead. No.
You didn't know Wapner's
no,
not with
I
us
know.
Anymore?
I haven't watched Wapner in years.
Oh, wow.
Definitely Wapner.
Family reunion in San Antonio this weekend, says the 816.
Nice. Go over to Seguin, Texas, and see the first radio station where I work. Bang on the door and say you want to see the place where I got my start.
The Bob Fesco Memorial Studio.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Memorial would be dead.
Yeah, honorary. I don't know what they call it, but it's something like that. Also, eat at Boudreaux's on the Riverwalk. Even if you just get the guacamole, it's fantastic.
Boudreaux's.
Huh. Yep. Great spot.
Get some Papados while you're down in Texas. What's something you've tried that you'll never try ever, never, ever try again? I guess that's how that was phrased.
I'd like to say my prostate exam, but that's going to happen.
You're going to get one of those.
Yep. Something that I try that I've never, ever, tomato soup, probably.
Mm. Turtle.
I tried watching The Bachelorette with my wife this year.
How was that?
Not going to watch that again.
It was
popping like knuckles last night, though. It was interesting.
Yeah, so okay.
Things were getting... I stayed up till 11. It was
good.
Oh, wow. 707, cold hot dog pie.
I saw that. I showed that to you the other day.
How gross did that look, right?
It's just hot dogs in a food processor pressed into a pie pan.
Right. It looked awful. It looked terrible. It looked like vomit. Yeah. No.
Gross.
No.
Who would you choose as a partner in a buddy cop movie?
Like a famous person or?
Anybody.
I would say Paul Long would be my choice.
Paul Long would be your buddy cop choice? That's a good choice.
Yeah.
Ketz.
Jason.
I was going to pick Ketz.
Jason,
okay.
We're both picking Ketz.
Why would you pick Ketz?
Well, I just...
I love picking on Cats.
Yeah, I know you.
That part of it. I was having him be the foil would be great.
Would be like somebody to help you actually like solve things and do things. Cats would be, you know, I guess Cats could because he'd talk your ear off and finally get you to cave.
Have you guys had cookie butter? SA16. Yes, I have.
I haven't yet. Is it good?
It's terrific.
Do you eat it just like out of the thing?
No,
like ice cream or something
like that?
It's
sweet for my flavor. I usually will go like on top of a plain waffle maybe with some cookie butter.
That's good. That sounds good.
It is terrific. It's essentially just those those cookies you get all the time, like right around Christmas. I can't remember the name of them. Start with a B.
Butter cookies?
No, not those.
Baklava?
Sure, we'll go with that. I know it's not baklava. Either way, it's just ground up with some oil. And that's all it is. Had a vasectomy done 8 weeks ago, says the A16, and got the good news. I'm all clear.
There you go. That's something you'll never do again.
That's good.
All clear for what?
That you're good to go.
Oh, you can start doing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
816 says today is
blanks, Josh.
Okay. Gotcha.
I'm can't wait for that day. 816, today is National Corn Fritter Day.
Oh, it's also National Ice Cream Day, I think, as well. Yeah.
We'll be taking advantage of one of those things. Mm-hmm. Are they selling the seat frame because there are no freestanding seats? You share an armrest. What?
Yeah, that is true. Most of them are shared armrests. So how do you get? Yeah, yeah.
Lingua tacos?
No, that's tongue.
Not doing tongue. Uh-uh. I've had la lingua. Yeah. I told you about Clem's and Independence. They sell brain and tongue.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that. There's some things I just don't need to eat.
I don't know that place here in KC. I can't remember that sells a snoot sandwich too.
I've eaten a pig's nose before.
I'm sure it tastes like pigs. Biscotti, maybe?
Oh, no, biscotti is a cookie.
I don't
cookie.
Think that's the one.
Danish butter cookies?
Never try to please the wife again, says the 75.
That's good.
816 says peanut butter, mayo, and tomato sandwich.
Oh,
peanut butter, mayo, and tomato.
Like, mayo and tomato is really good. I could do that because that's like a BLT. But
I'm just saying, the peanut butter's sneaky.
Yeah, it really was for that cheeseburger time.
It's sneaky, so I wouldn't rule it out, but
I don't know.
Tough to get in there, I think, that first go around.
Huh. 816, my mom buys the textbooks for college. I sell them at semester and keep the money. Should be the same for the Chiefs seats. That all adds up.
That's true. That's true. Your parents paid for them,
and you get the refund money.
You got the refund money.
All the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the bars got the refund money.
Well, sure.
Oh, it's the Tenderloin Grill on Southwest Boulevard that has the pig snoot sandwich. Let's see. Tim Conway passed away a couple of months ago.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Who?
Tim Conway. Dorf on Golf.
Dorf on Golf.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Dorf.
Yeah.
Been a while since I thought about that guy. And lastly for you, 785 says, I sold my old Pokemon cards on eBay for $8,500.
Is that still a thing, Pokemon? Remember, like it was like a thing for a week.
For $8,500?
That's pretty good. Did you make money on that deal? I would hope
I would hope so. Otherwise, yeah, you spent a ton on Pokemon
cards. I don't know
cards.
Who created Pokemon Go. But I'm trying to figure out how we get them to have Pokemon go to the polls.
What a
so
terrible
awkward.
Joke.
It was still really bad. Yeah, whoever wrote
just
that.
Terrible.
The comedic timing of Hillary Clinton, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right, yes. Trying to blend into the events of the day.
Are you playing Pokemon Go?
No.
Play that again.
What's that, Parkins?
Yes.
Are you playing Pokemon Go?
No. I haven't been invited.
To Denny.
That's good.
That is today's edition of Shout It Out. Our key plays coming up and what the internet was freaking out about yesterday. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Time for the key play brought to you by Broadway Deli, the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. They are in the crossroads. Open breakfast, lunch. They can cater breakfast and lunch as well. Box lunches as well. Broadway Deli, 21st and Broadway. A Royals prospect with a no-hitter last night.
Starts his motion. The payoff pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three. History. Jonathan Boland did it. The first no-hitter in nearly two decades for the Wilmington Blue Rocks. And Jonathan Boland does it here tonight as he is mobbed by his teammates near the mound.
Oh, my God.
Jonathan Bolin, the Royals' second-round pick in the 2018 draft, throws a no-no last night. Class A Wilmington, 3-0 win over Carolina. Struck out 9, and the only base runner reached on an error. That, to me, is maybe more impressive than anything. He didn't have a bunch of walks. He threw a 9-strikeout, no walk, only base runner reaching via an error performance in a no-hitter for the Royals' farmhand last night. Pretty cool.
Almost a perfect game, as you said. And this guy's been really, really good. Listen to what he's done in his last 10 minor league games. He's 8-1 with a 2.56 ERA. That's pretty darn impressive, right? But what's even more impressive, 68 strikeouts and just 5 walks over that time. I mean, this guy has been absolute nails for the Royals minor leagues this year. He was in Lexington to start the year, was 6-2, and then was moved up to Wilmington and is now 4-1 at Wilmington with a 1.59 ERA. And just another pitching prospect in this organization that is starting to do some really good things for the Royals down in their minor league system. Has just 2 walks in his starts down at Wilmington and 38 strikeouts. The league in Wilmington right now is hitting 186 off of Jonathan Bolin, and he was a guy that was drafted in the second round in 2018, and that was last year, obviously, and doesn't get a lot of accolades because of the 3 pitchers that were, you know, drafted ahead of him that everybody's been talking about, man. But if this kid keeps, you know, pitching like this and continues to, you know, trend this way, he may be on the fast track. It wasn't just the no-hitter last night. This guy has been dominant his entire season in minor league baseball. And in his career, he's 11-7 with a 3.83 ERA with just 21 walks and 135 strikeouts in his 2 seasons in minor league baseball. Think about that, man. How would you love to have a guy at the big league level who just mows people down? 135 strikeouts and 21 walks in 2 minor league seasons. I mean, that is some impressive stuff that this kid is doing right now.
Let's go. They went. That was the part of the celebration after the no-no yesterday. Yeah. But the more the merrier. I mean, you can't just say, oh, there's this guy. You need them all.
Right.
And to figure out how many you're going to actually make it.
Well, right? I mean, so, yeah, that's the
quantity,
thing.
The quantity and the quality right now is impressing me at the minor league level because there's a bunch of guys that are pitching well.
Yeah,
it's good.
It really is. And you mentioned, yeah, he's seeing let's go. It should have been we went to steal one.
From
Brett Hull. It should have been we went instead of let's go because you already accomplished that. So we went,
I think
Blue
they,
Rocks.
I think they discovered it didn't go all that well for Hull. And that nobody got where he was going.
Did you send the thing yesterday, the T-shirt that they're selling, Drunk as Hull?
Drunk as Hull. Blues themed T-shirt. It's pretty awesome. I was like, nod to my head, like, that's a well-done T-shirt.
That is really
drunk
good.
Drunk as Hull. Coming up at 7, it's kind of back to the future now for the Royals. We'll explain. But what was the internet freaking out about yesterday?
A lot.
I get my news from the internet, like every other normal person under 70.
Has the whole world gone insane?
It's all fantastic with the internet.
I'm not freaking out.
Well, they have the internet on computers now.
Oh, the internet.
The internet freaking out about Pat Mahomes' traveling trick tour. It continues. Yesterday, of course, we talked about him throwing the football over the stands at Arrowhead.
That's right.
Landing the ball on the concourse behind the stands.
Mm-hmm.
To which Colin Cowherd replied that Tom Brady was out there working on precision routes.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. So Mahomes just then tried to one-up himself.
Is this recent video or now is this just old video surfacing of Patrick Mahomes doing like random things with a football?
I don't know. This comes from a Bobby Stroop.
Oh.
Okay.
Bobby.
You've heard of Bobby Stroop. Here's the video of Mahomes casually throwing a football 65 yards on his knees. Apparently came at a football camp and he's on his knees, reaches back and just flicks a football. 65 yards without setting up, without dropping back, without doing the whole nine.
Right.
Just from his knees, just using his arm.
You remember when Carrington tried to throw that ball 50 yards?
Yeah.
And he was like getting like a 15-foot running start?
Yeah.
Now, in Carrington's defense, 43 yards was pretty impressive.
I thought Carrington was really good. I was impressed with that.
It wasn't what he promised.
No. It was only 7 yards short, though.
Yeah, it was only 21 feet short.
Right, but I thought there was no way he would get 30. You know, like, he impressed me with that. I'm not going to sit here and rag Carrington today because I thought that was really impressive. I was like, wow, I think.
I'm not ragging Carrington. I'm just putting in the frame of reference for you. Patrick Mahomes threw what 20 more yards from his knees?
Yeah, but I don't think that needs to be put into perspective. I think what you have when you say Patrick Mahomes threw 65 yards in the air on his knees, that's all the perspective that you need to know. I think right now nobody is surprised at anything that this guy is able to do with a football, even throwing it out of Arrowhead Stadium or throwing 65 yards on his knees or anything like that. I don't think anybody is going to be surprised to see what Patrick Mahomes does or how Patrick Mahomes reacts, especially what we saw him do last year in football games, from the no-look pass to the left-handed pass to the 4th-and-9 pass to Tyreek Hill against the Baltimore Ravens running the wrong way and throwing across his body. Like, I looked at that yesterday. Somebody sent it to me on Facebook early in the day yesterday, and I looked at it, and I'm like, okay, great. That's awesome. But, I mean, like, I'm not surprised anymore by what this kid does, because he's found a way to take the ordinary and make it extraordinary, and he's found a way to take the extraordinary and make it doubly extraordinary. So I see this stuff, and I'm
extra
like...
Extra extraordinary?
Extra extraordinary, yeah, extraordinary. And then I see this stuff, and I'm like, well, okay, that's just what he does. Like, none of it really surprises me anymore. I would have been more surprised had he not made the 65-yard throw on his knees or not thrown it out of Arrowhead Stadium than watching him do this kind of stuff, because the expectation level for me is now so high with Patrick Mahomes, I think he can do anything. He could legitimately throw it over the mountains.
I think that's got to be next up.
I was going to say, is that the next step?
We're working our way towards that very quickly.
I think it has to be. I mean, do we take him out to Denver and put him at the base of the Rockies and say, throw it over the top, get it over the pass?
I mean, Colin Cowherd would freak out. But
Colin Cowherd would lose his mind over something like this.
Tom Brady's never even seen a mountain.
Yeah.
Oh, Tom's already scaled it. See, that's what it is. Tom's already scaled that mountain.
He was throwing it. He was throwing it to Tom Brady as well.
Who had climbed it to the top of the mountain.
Do you think if we put him on the easternmost part of the United States, which is like in Maine, he could throw it to England?
It's possible. Like, could he stand on Sarah Palin's front porch and
throw it to Russia? Throw it to Russia. You know, there is an island out there in Alaska, and I've done some looking at maps, where, like, there are two islands.
The
world needs more maps.
It does. But there's, like, two islands, and they're named, like, kind of the same up there in Alaska. One is on the Russian side, and one is on the Alaska side, and they're not separated by a whole lot. I wonder if he could stand on that American island and throw it across the sea there, which is not that far, to the Russian side, and say he threw the ball from America to Russia.
I'd watch that video.
Would you not watch that video?
Pat Mahomes throws the ball from the U.S. to Russia.
The U.S. to Russia.
Yeah, I'm clicking on that.
I forget how far apart the strait is. It's not far. It's not.
Can we get Mahomes on the moon to throw the ball off the moon? That's what we need.
Where would you like him to throw to? Mars?
Yes.
Yeah. Or have Mahomes, like, stand, you know, like in Laredo, Texas, and throw it across the Rio Grande into Mexico. Or have him go near the Canadian border and have him throw from the United States to Canada.
Something, you know, the span of the Grand Canyon.
Yeah. Or have him just stand on state line and throw across the street and say he threw it from Kansas to Missouri.
Evel Knievel once tried to jump Grand Canyon.
Yeah, throw it across the canyon.
That one guy that walks on... walks on a wire. He did Grand Canyon. Pat needs to throw it over the Grand Canyon.
Like, instead of watching those guys do the tightrope walks, we should have Mahomes do those things in July. Random places where Mahomes is going to throw up and try to throw the football from point A to point B. And I think we start with those two islands in the United States and Alaska. I want to say that they're separated by maybe a quarter of a mile. Maybe, if that. I mean,
he goes and visits all the great, you know, places around the world and tries to throw over them.
Yeah.
He's seeing how far he can
over
scale
the pyramids.
Up the Eiffel Tower. He throws over a pyramid.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And he throws it at Big Ben. The clock, not the quarterback.
Next year. We got all kinds of activities scheduled for Pat's
season
next year. This just happened to be a workout facility in Tyler, Texas that he threw it 65 yards from his knees. And that's what the internet was freaking out about yesterday. From the This Won't End Well department. For some reason.
Yeah, the big, the Diomede Islands. That's the one.
The what?
The D-I-O, Diomede Islands, is what it's called. One is in Russia, and one is in the United States.
How far apart?
I'm trying to look right now.
It's like 65 yards or?
I mean, here's the picture.
Under 100?
Here's the picture, the top picture. It doesn't look far, right?
Well, it's a map.
No, it's an actual picture of the two islands.
I mean, it's a, Ryan, this is like an inch and a half wide photo. I mean, I can
like
totally tell.
Shot?
I can totally tell what the span between those islands is. Let's just get Mahomes first to do Tecmo.
2.4 miles apart.
Tecmo Randall Cunningham, where
yeah,
he drops
I don't
think
back. He's throwing a ball 2.4
where he drops
miles.
Back out of the back of the end zone, throws it out of the other end zone first, and then we can work on, you know, island spans. That seems like a little far.
But during the winter, an ice bridge usually spans that distance. Therefore, you can walk from the United States to Alaska. Maybe we have him walk out, like, kind of, you know, to like where the dateline
is. Yeah, I'm going
to
have him walk halfway out into a 2.5 mile span of ice.
How many throws does it football. Take him to get it across that ice bridge from the U.S. to
right
to Russia?
I got 7.
It's creating your own skills competition for Mahomes. Every offseason.
Would you watch that?
Yes, absolutely.
I would. I mean, it's good ABC. To know that he has a lucrative career as a circus yeah. sideshow ABC after the NFL.
ABC would televise
Step
that.
Step that up, ladies and gentlemen. How far can he throw it?
ABC would do it. It's a game show.
Michael Strahan would broadcast.
It's a game show yeah. summers on ABC, so why wouldn't you?
Right.
After Holy Moly, here's Mahomes.
Holy Mahoney.
Mahomesy throwing-y. I don't know. I would do various throwing challenges. Anyway, from the this isn't going to end well department, for some reason yesterday, the SEC.
Actually, the international dateline, international borders, 1.2 miles. He could do that.
All right. Are you going to get out of this rabbit hole or no?
No.
Okay. SEC officials decided to put out their own Twitter account.
Why?
At SEC officiating.
Who green-lighted this?
Hello, world. This account will serve as your source for rules, videos, statistics, and activities inside the SEC Video Center.
But they OJ'd it right off the jump.
Go easy on us.
Hey, Twitter world.
Why would you start something that's only going to result in nasty replies? They've so far have one tweet, which already is well over 1,000 replies. And 347 retweets. And basically, it was every SEC fan sending them every play they thought was messed up over the entire span of the SEC.
Right. For like 100 years of football.
Yes.
Yeah. Which, you're really right. It's a great comparison. Like, when OJ came out with his Twitter account, the replies, the mention, like, why are you doing this? It's not going to be a good look for you. And here we have the SEC officials. In 2019, like Twitter isn't new, right? Like, Twitter's been out for, what, 12 years, 13 years? Twitter is not something that just was discovered yesterday and everybody's rushing to get a Twitter account. You've gone all this time without having a Twitter account. Who in the SEC office woke up on a random Monday and he said, you know what's a good idea? We need to start an account for our officials. And we'll do that because that will end well. That's a good idea. Sometimes you need to have your social media people say, I don't think we're going to do an account for that and just be done with it because there's nothing good to gain for the SEC by having this account.
All kinds of videos sent to them about, you know, grabbing popcorn and waiting to see what happens. A guy, M-I-Z, Chris, 18, sent 3 still shots of people stepping out of bounds that were called timeouts against Mizzou or
yeah.
called touchdowns against Mizzou, like right away.
I do like the Georgia guy dropping the football before crossing the plane.
I mean, really?
The
really?
Video of a... of a linesman seemingly giving a better spot to Alabama.
Right.
I mean, it's they can't look at their reply. They just can't.
They can't. They can't go in there.
If you want to go and show plays and say, this is why, great, but don't look at your replies because it's not pretty.
No, there's no reason to do this. There's absolutely no reason to do this by the SEC. And I think right now if you're the SEC, you probably go in there, just delete that account and be done with it. Like, that's one where you do have to delete. The OJ should delete his account. These people should delete this account as well. It's just stupid.
Or you go in and look at it for fun because the replies are pretty good.
Well, yeah, for a viewing audience like us, it's great. But if you're the SEC, like, what was your MO here? What were you trying to gain?
To educate your fans on the ways of
officiating. No, it's not going to turn out that way. Not at all. That's one of those things you just let it go and move on. People will forget it by Wednesday.
Did they come making that up?
610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDF HD2 Kansas City, radio.com sports station.
I like this from the text line. I'm not sure why anyone would reply to the SEC officials. It's not like they'll see it anyway.
Very good.
That's well done.
Take yours to that tweet. Your chance to win the MVP golf card. We give stuff away each and every day at 7, 8, and 9 o'clock just for listing. And Ryan makes it very, very simple to win.
I do like to keep it easy on you. All you have to do is a little two-parter. You have to listen for this.
You could rub off on a lot of guys in a positive way.
That's a strong statement right there. You listen for that next time you hear it. Be caller number
15.
Caller 15 to 913-576-7610. That's 913-576-7610 if you're looking for the 10 on your phone. Be caller 15. I'll hook you up with an MVP golf card. It's as easy as that.
You can save big on rounds of golf at the Kansas City Metro, Adams Point, Heart of America Golf Academy, Swope Memorial, Minor Park, Sycamore Ridge. Just $99 gets you two rounds at each of five of your favorite courses. Get yours now, MVPGolfKC.com. Royals making a trade last night. They send catcher Martin Maldonado to the Cubs and acquire left-hand pitcher Mike Montgomery. Yep, that Mike Montgomery. The original draft pick by the Royals back in the 2008 draft, 36th overall. And then he was part of the trade to Tampa in 2012 that brought James Shields, Wade Davis, and as you mentioned earlier, Elliot Johnson.
Elliot Johnson.
Forgot about the other guy thrown into that. Elliot Johnson was thrown into the mix. So he was part of that trade, was on the mound, final out of Game 7 of the 2016 World Series as the Cubs won the World Series. He'd been pitching out of the bullpen for the Cubs, will be a starter now, beginning Friday for the Royals. Dayton Moore on reacquiring Mike Montgomery.
He clearly wants to start. We have an opportunity to start, as you guys know, with the trade that we make for Homer Bailey. And, Monty's kind of been used in a very versatile role over there. He started. He's pitched in the middle. He's pitched situational. And it's just a good opportunity to get him back and put him in the rotation and potentially 2 years of control for us. And so the money pretty much is a swap. So that's not just a good baseball deal.
Montgomery is 30, made 20 relief appearances for the Cubs this season, 1-2, a 5.67 ERA. And he discusses the trade.
You know, I'm excited for the new opportunity. And, from a baseball perspective, I'm feeling like I can bring a lot to that team. And, I know that they got a good group of guys over there. So, definitely excited to go, over there. And, it's going to be tough leaving here. And I told, some of the guys that I saw, I wish them the best. I think this team has what it takes to make it to the World Series and to win it all. And, so I'll be watching and keeping tabs on these guys.
Mm. He hasn't looked at the standings, right?
No, he's talking about the Cubs.
I know. Yeah. I know. Because he's well aware. Like, I really want to start, but I'm leaving a team that's leading the division by two games.
Right.
Yeah. So
for Mike Montgomery, got the World Series. You're like, what more could you accomplish in Chicago if you're Mike Montgomery? You were on the mound for the final out of their first World Championship in 105 years.
What? You don't think that every time?
Every time mound, you're on the mound.
Every time I hear on the mound, I think of Binkley's snort.
Who the hell was he interviewing at that point in time?
I think it was Saberhagen. Saberhagen,
yeah.
You're on the map.
It's just automatic. So he wants to be a starter again. This provides him the opportunity to be a starter again.
You're on the
mound,
a complete game, the final out. What immediately goes through your mind?
He was so excited.
He's going to get a chance to start. There's an opportunity to start.
The second half, Vargas. If you would have gotten that first half, Vargas, I don't think we're really talking about this right now.
Okay. Also, no hurt. You got the rest of the season. You're auditioning for a bunch of stuff.
Well, you're going to be. Look, as good as these minor league pitchers have been down, in Double A and now obviously in Single A last night with Jonathan Bolin and the way that he's pitched this year for the Royals. it's still a couple of years away before these guys are cementing themselves at the big league level. So Mike Montgomery's under team control for two more years after this. And I say team control, he's got a contract. And because Ryan was like, he's that young? He's still under team control? No, he's got a contract. And so that's why it's really good for the Royals, because you got him for a couple of years. He can be a guy that can kind of bide you time, hopefully, at the big league level. And he's a veteran guy at the big league level and a guy that you know can pitch at the big league level. And so he's a guy that fills a number of different roles for the Royals right now, immediately goes in and becomes a starter for you. You have the ability to stretch him out. And then he's a guy that can potentially be in your rotation next year while you're waiting for, you know, Singer and Kowar and now Bolin and guys like that to start developing down in the minor leagues before they're ready to come up, because they're not going to be ready to come up next year. Okay, let's not kid ourselves here and think these guys are going to be at the big league club next year. But by the time 2021 rolls around, they'll probably be ready to come up and see what they can do at the big league level. Between now and then, you got to have five starters. You got to have some guys that can go out there and pitch. And so Mike Montgomery fits that role, and he's got a very reasonable contract for the Royals. And they took a guy that they weren't going to have this year because of, you know, they had Salvador Perez, but he got injured. They signed Maldonado, did a nice job for them, and then they were able to spin him off for a starting pitcher. I think what the Royals have done over the last 48 hours has really bettered themselves as an overall organization than what they had this time, you know, on Saturday afternoon.
Today in history.
Gentlemen, I'm here to help you with your history report.
Sure, sounds important.
You know what today is?
History! What's today? October.
Getting a little closer every day. Happy July 16th, everyone. A lot of very important things happen on a July 16th. Did you guys know that on this day in 1969, Apollo 11 launched and was carrying the first men to ever land on the moon? Allegedly.
There was not a movie about that one, though, right?
No, there. No.
It's well, just 13. 11 didn't get a movie.
13 went up 2 days later.
What? No, I don't think that's true.
Oh.
I don't think that's right at all.
What happened to 12?
We landed on the moon!
Never went back. Just said, the hell with this place. Don't need to send people back here.
Why haven't we been back? 50 years, we figure out everything?
Because they found Optimus Prime, don't you remember?
Oh, okay.
I don't think it was Optimus, it was the other one.
The GoBots?
Yes. Nails it. On this day in 1439, kissing is banned in England to stop the Black Death from spreading. Do you recall if it worked, Kling?
There were still some deaths.
On this day in 1790, Congress declared the city of Washington in the District of Columbia the permanent capital of these United States.
That's cool.
Also for you on this day in 1845, the New York Yacht Club held its first regatta. I hear it was no Catalina wine mixer. Still pretty nice, though. And lastly for you on this day,
I christen thee the Flying Wasp.
What, have you ever been to a Catalina wine mixer?
No, I'm not. I'm not high class enough for that. And lastly for you on this day in 1941, a guy by the name of Joe DiMaggio, he went 3-for-4, or as your daughter liked to call him, Joe Domingo. Mm-hmm. He went 3-for-4. He hit in 56 straight games this day in history. That's a record that still stands to this day until Whit Merrifield breaks it.
That's right.
A lot of birthdays today. Happy 76th birthday to Jimmy Johnson, the Lord of the Dance.
He's
Michael.
76?
Yeah, 76. Wow. His hair looks no older than 61, point. Though. Michael Flatley, the Lord of the Dance. He's 61 today.
Uh-huh.
Barry Sanders, little local kid. Well, I guess from Wichita, right? Barry's from Wichita.
Wichita, that's right.
Local
Wichita.
Enough. Barry Sanders, he's 51 today, one of the greatest running backs of all time. Gold medal skeet shooter Kim Rode, she's 40 today. Happy 40th birthday to Kim Rode. Orville Redenbacher would have been 112 today. Let's all pause to remember Orville Redenbacher.
He popped a long time ago, though, right?
Yeah. That was...
You know what he's famous for? It's named after him. Pepperidge Farm. Pepperidge Farm remembers Orville Redenbacher.
Okay. And Will Ferrell is 52 today. Happy birthday, Will.
We landed on the moon!
That's not the one I wanted to play.
It's a simple question, Doctor. Would you eat the moon if it were made of ribs?
We're all just now doing Will Ferrell impressions, right?
That's right.
Yes, Will Ferrell impressions of somebody else.
Like Harry Carey didn't even exist.
If the moon was made of cheese, would you eat it?
Well, it's ribs.
It's a simple question, Doctor. Would you eat the moon if it were made of ribs?
you were a hot dog, would you eat yourself?
Would you eat yourself?
Yeah. I wouldn't.
If it was all beef, probably, but not if it was the nitrate kind.
Or if it was like cold hot dog pie.
Ugh. Who's eating that?
People that like hot dogs?
Cold hot dogs, too.
Ugh.
Can't do it. That is today in history.
Is that keto friendly?
Apparently, there was a movie called First Man about the Apollo 11 moon mission.
You know, I remember.
Didn't know that.
Well, actually.
Oh, my bad, too.
You could rub off on a lot of guys in a positive way.
There you go.
I forgot I was supposed to do that. That whole Christmas in July thing really threw us off.
REM once said it. Can you believe we put a man on the moon?
It's happening, and it's the right call. Next.
I think that was right.
It was.
Fesco in the morning.